Tuesday morning, and we have quite a bit on our agenda today. So I think we'll start out with House Bill 3496. I see Representative Lundquist is here, so we'll open the hearing on House Bill 3496. I think the only testimony we'll probably have on this issue will be Representative Lundquist and Joe Rollator. Joe Rollator. So we'll, until we get some more members here, we can kind of work on this. Representative Ubala is in another, she's testifying on another bill right now. She'll be in just a little bit later, and so let's cover this right now. So welcome, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Lynn Lundquist, District 59, Central Mason, Oregon. Appreciate the your willingness to hold a public hearing on this bill. As always, we always talk. This can't hear me. Okay. As always, I think most people come in and say this is a pretty simple bill. Always things get a little more complicated as time goes on. But let's simply give you the background on why we brought this bill before you today. This has to do with private hunting reserves, upland bird private hunting reserves. What we found has happened is that in the state of Oregon, prior to, or at the present time, the way it is, someone hunting on these preserves pays a total of $28. And when the people that operate these preserves compete with Washington across state line, they actually don't pay anything over there for non-resident coming in there. And that's one issue. The second one is that the $25 of the $28 that they presently pay goes into a separate sub-account of the State Wildlife Fund, and it's used for the promotion and of upland bird hunting. And so what you had, and for most hunters, that's an appropriate situation, because these dollars actually promote additional pheasants in this case, upland birds of different kinds. Primarily talking about pheasants. But what we had here, we had people paying into an account that actually, all it did is it helped neighbors, the ones who don't have any preserves in that sense, because, frankly, the ODF&W does lease some ground to increase the access for the hunters, and I think that's a very positive thing, but it would not be for the ones on the preserve. So what you had, money generated from the reserves going to help outside of the preserve. And so we worked with ODF&W on this to make sure that it's compatible with their total program, and I think if they want to come testify, they'll support this particular bill. That's the background for it.
Was there a problem, Representative, in the way this was originally drafted?
Yes.
We have an amendment, do we?
Yes, you should have that. I thought you had that in front of you.
Yeah,
conceptual amendment 3496.
Conceptual amendment 3496. As I understand, the issue of the bill is right now non-residents are, in your mind, are paying too high a fee to
Yes.
on a private preserve. Is that really the issue here?
That is the issue. And so...
And what did you say right now they're paying?
They're paying a total of $28 at the moment. So
And under this bill, they would pay $9.
That's correct.
And you haven't addressed the acreage issue.
No, and I will do that.
Okay, go ahead on that one.
Okay, on the acreage issue, presently it's 640 acres, whether it's east side or west side. And what these preserve owners want to do is they want to give the best experience possible for the hunters. And so on the east side, we believe that to increase that to two sections, or it's 1,280 acres instead of one section, increases the quality of the hunt and does not cause any trouble from the standpoint of neighbors. They still have to be a certain distance from neighbors and that sort of thing. So all of those are left the same. All we've done is done two things. We increase the size of the acres and also increase the signage, distance that's allowable. So that the signs can be 1,320 feet apart instead of, I believe before they were half that distance. 1,320 feet being a quarter of a mile. And in those kind of settings, a quarter of a mile is pretty readable as you go along.
of course, we're talking about upland game birds. These people are growing most of their own birds and turning them loose out there.
It varies. The particular one that started this bill, came to me for that, actually buys his birds. And some of them buy, some of them will raise them. It all depends. But they are, they're all,
Of course, it's impossible to fence a pheasant in, so it isn't quite the same thing as game mammals. And so how do they keep them on their preserve?
Well, they try to have about an 85 to a 90% harvesting of the birds that they release. What that tells you is that the preserves themselves are enhancing the number of birds for the non-resident hunter, the one who just, or maybe could be a resident, a non-resident as well, but on other ground, in other words, on private land, we actually are increasing the number of pheasants available.
Now, of course, residents that hunt there, do they have to have a license? Or does anyone have to have a license to hunt on this private preserve?
Maybe let's let ODF and W, I think I know the answer, but let's let them give you the exact answer on that to make sure that I...
Rich Berry signed up to testify. You want to come on up, Rich? It says the hunting preserve up in line 7 permits for this section of Lewin hunting licenses required under wildlife laws. Is that... If you have private property and raise your own birds, do people have to have a license?
Chair Wells, for the record, my name is Rich Berry. I'm the Wildlife Division Director for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. The process and what this bill will correct, a private hunting preserve is defined by statute for game birds. What we were running into was an inconsistency on whether they did or did not have to have the licenses. It kind of said if you were a resident, you had to have a license. An existing state license. If you're a non-resident, you could have the preserve license. This will just clarify, if I was a citizen, a non-resident, and I already had a hunting license, non-resident license, or an upland bird license, I could hunt on the preserve without buying the preserve permit. If I was a resident and already had my licenses, I could hunt on the preserve. However, if I just wanted to come hunt on that preserve for the day, I can buy the preserve permit, and now I am legal to hunt within the state of Oregon, or on that preserve only, or any other preserve within the state. Before it was confusing, we ended up inadvertently having a mixture of what was legal or not legal, and it wasn't the same for resident and non-resident.
So now, what do we have here in these amendments?
Okay, what we have in the amendments, if you'll look at the original bill under Section 3, we were amending ORS 497-153, and the Legislative Council determined later on through the help of the ODF&W that actually was the wrong section that we should amend. It should be, on the conceptual amendments, it should be 497-156. So I want to make sure you understand that. With the drafting the error, I guess, the 156 section actually is the one that pertains to non-residents and is the right one that we should have amended. And Jeanette Holman from LC, the drafter, is the one who drafted this conceptual amendment, and we will be willing to testify that this is exactly how she will draft it.
Yeah, we're taking out lines 9 through 22, taking that whole out.
Taking that whole section out.
Because it refers to a $5 fee, and this here refers to a $25 fee on line 12 there.
Well, it's a different section completely. It's
on line 12 it says fee for $5, and then the amendment talks about $25. Okay, I'd like to open a work session on this bill, 3496.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cromwell.
Thank you. If I may ask Representative Lundquist a question. Representative, I'm a little bit confused because with the addition of subsection B of subsection 3 of section 3, I guess it would end up being like around line 17, but if you look at your conceptual amendments, and it says, but if you go up to subsection 3, it says, notwithstanding subsection 1 of the section of bird waterfowl stamp is not required of, and then it has be a non-resident hunter on a private preserve. I'm confused as to whether that isn't exempting a non-resident from having to obtain a permit.
Be careful.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Representative Frommel, I think we've got two things. In Section 2 is the section that deals with having an annual a hunting license or a preserve permit. Section 3 deals with the upland bird stamp. The upland bird stamp is required of resident hunters. The section we're talking about amending into this deals with the non-resident bird waterfowl stamp. The waterfowl stamp is an alternative to the upland bird stamp, and that's why Section 3 is an error in this bill. We're dealing with non-residents, so we should be amending this section that deals with the bird waterfowl stamp, not the section in 3, not the stamp in
3. Mr. Chairman, if I might, I think under Section, or under H, under Section 2, it's on page 2, it's by the top of page 2, line 5.
Yes.
Talks about that you do have to have a permit there, and that's the $9. I think that's, we're taking one place and putting on in another.
Okay, because it Mr. Chair, if I may,
mm-hmm.
Because it says in the new subsection 1 that you're proposing, I see, that gives the Wildlife Commission authorization to issue the upland bird permit, is that correct? And can charge a fee of $25.
This would be on private, this would be off a preserve.
That's off a preserve. So then.
Well, that's current state law.
Right. Okay.
We're just moving that whole section in there because the amendment originally had 497.153, which was the whole wrong section. So we're moving in 157, 156, and then they'll amend that, talking about non-residents. They amended the wrong section.
Right. I understand that. So we won't take, so because I had a question about that, too, because I thought that
whole
non-residents were being
out
exempted.
It talks about a non-resident can either hunt waterfowl upland, game birds, an annual bird waterfowl stamp. Either they can hunt either one if they get the stamp is current law.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Beyer.
Representative Lundquist, do you know the rules, or maybe someone else can answer it on the like releasing? How long before the people can hunt? The birds have to be released, and what prevents wild birds from coming onto the preserve and the people are actually shooting those rather than the released birds?
Go ahead. You know better than I
know. Representative Beyer, perhaps I'll answer that. There is nothing as far as when the birds have to be released. However, all birds have to be marked, and any time a bird is taken that is not a marked bird, so essentially we consider it a wild bird, they do have to pay the department. We issue to them essentially tags, we'll call it, which they pay for. Every time a non-marked bird is taken, they must tag that with the state tag, and then they end up paying us the fee for that. And I believe the tag is $10 a tag is what they're providing to us. So they cannot legally take wild ones without reimbursing the state for the wild ones that may be taken. We don't see that happening real often.
Follow-up. How are the birds marked?
They have to mark them. They can be marked through clippings or banding, a number of things that they mark. Clipping a talon type thing. A number of different ways that they can be marked.
One more. So there is no requirement that the birds have to release 48 hours before a hunter shows up or something like that. I mean, they can actually walk out, open a cage, allow the bird to jump out, and then shoot it.
Representative Byers, that's correct.
Interesting, as it applies to another bill we have on the schedule.
So So where are we on this, Harrison? We have this conceptual amendment. Do we need to get this drawn up by LC to move this bill, or where are we?
Well, as Representative Lundquist indicated, Jeanette Holman has drafted this exact language in an LC, which is currently in word processing. I would say would be safe to move this amendment.
Could I ask Representative Lundquist one more question?
Yes, Representative Byer.
Representative Lundquist, why are we trying to make the acreage distinction east versus west? I mean, it doesn't make much sense to me, but I'm going to figure out your logic here.
Well, the logic that's gone into that process, Representative Byer, Mr. Chairman, is the fact that on the west side, the density is much higher with people. And that we just have a different, as you well know, a different, I guess, not only density of people, but the size of the parcels in the valley versus the west side. I mean, the east side versus the west side. And so the concept was it'd be harder to establish 1,320, take two sections in the valley and find that. That's the logic of it.
This is a follow-up,
Mr. Representative Byer.
But this is a maximum acreage, so why not put the maximum acreage to 1,280 acres on both sides of the mountain then? This isn't a minimum acre, this is a maximum.
Maybe the ODF comment on that. This was an agreement that we had working with Mr. Joel Rowley, who I don't know if he's here today or not. Do you want to comment on
it? Chair Wells, Representative Byer. As Representative Lundquist said, it kind of is a land ownership one. We've not had any requests on the west side. All the ones we have there are smaller in size. It could be the same, and we probably would have no noticeable difference. It was just that the request that we had which came primarily from the east side with the larger land ownerships.
We don't have a fiscal on this bill. We're going to hold the bill up for right now to get a fiscal, and we'll get this drawn up into an LC draft and bring it back if there are any more testimony.
The fiscal, I don't know if ODF would, is relatively small based on the, I think fiscal has to be, what, 10, what's the minimum?
$50,000.
I don't believe that it'll ever come close to that. But
Let's get a draft dash one, get it drawn up, and we'll bring it back. We can bring it back.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll close the work session on 3496. Stand at ease, Matt. We're waiting for Representative Kane to come back. He'll do his other little bill.
Which one's that? Sorry about that, Mr. Chair, members.